Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for spring semester 2022. Today, time value of money problems. The main point that I'm going to try to drive home here, or to the skills that I'm trying to emphasize here, is showing you the kinds of problems as you would have them on a quiz or an exam. Just here they are, here's how you do it, and just one after the other until you've got it down pretty strong, pretty solid, walking into the exam. As I said, if you know what you're doing, these problems, which are supposed to be the hardest on the exam, can take like 20 seconds to do. But you got to know what you're doing in order to take advantage of the technology that we have these days. So, as usual, though, if the projector can warm up here for a minute, just a quick look at the numbers. Just to finish this up. Bull day or bear day on the street right now? It's a bear day. It's not a horrible one, although it was tried to be. As you notice, that same pattern just seems to always show up, that the Dow is down the least because it is slower, it's more robust to bad news. And then you got the S&P 500 down about a half a point. And then the NASDAQ is letting us know that it is not in a good mood at all. It's a pretty sour mood, in fact. And as you can see, the money is flowing out of equities. Now, again, let me emphasize that one more time, is when those indexes, in the case of the S&P 500 and Dow, those aren't exchanges, those are just indexes, portfolios. You can see that, well, what happens is that means those, the bear sentiment means that investors are selling those. That means money is coming out of those. And in a typical brokerage account, as soon as you sell a security, that money goes into a cash account, like a money market. It just goes there and says, what do you want to do with me? Now, if you're stupid like I am, you go right and buy something else. Otherwise, you just let it sit there and figure out what's going on next. But as you can see, money is coming out of equities. It goes into cash for a little bit, and then it goes somewhere else. Now, I'm going to go back to crude here in a minute, but as you can see, there was a little bit of money, not much. I mean, this is piddly stuff. There was some money going into gold, not really into silver at all, but these are very small numbers, so that's just random noise for the most part. But as you can see, bond yields went down, not much, half a basis point. But that would be where some of that money that came out of equities is going, because if the yields are going down, the prices are going up. Now, this is a classic exam question, one of those easy ones. When bond prices go down, bond yields go down, the bond price goes, something like that. It's nothing hard at all. Now, I'm looking over here. Really not much else you can say. Notice something here. The Financial Times index, that's 100 stocks that are on the London Exchange. And as you can see, there was a bear drop there in the early trading, in the early morning over in London. And then the rest of the day, it was trying to climb out of that hole. There was buying, and that could have been, well, just market sentiment turned around, the bears had their fun, and then the bulls came in. Sometimes you'll hear the term bargain hunting. Is when you have a drop in all the stocks, you'll have, then it's time to look around. Geez, maybe there's a good deal here. And it looks like that was kind of what was going on through the rest of the day, is grabbing up some securities, some stocks that were a good buy. Now the Nikkei, interestingly enough, notice that it had kind of the same thing, except it started out with a very good bull day, and then the bears just came in. They weren't enough to bring it clear down into negative territory, but then it bounced back a little bit of bargain hunting probably over there in Tokyo before the bell closed. One last thing, of course, just to make everyone's day. Crude oil is back up again. It's moving toward that $100 mark. I don't know. It'll probably, by spring break, it'll probably be back up there nearing 100 after, near the end of March, it'll probably find 100. And it's partly driven by supply and demand dynamics. As the economy is opening up again, you're going to have more demand for hydrocarbon products. We are having something of a winter, so you might see some of that in there that's pushing demand up. But there's also just, we've got to get that price above 100. It's just the way the market wants it to be. And so we're going to have higher gas prices. Like I said, well, you might have noticed the gas prices are going up now just because this is the underlying cause of it. And the more you see this go up, the more gasoline prices are going to follow it. Usually 2 to 3 days, I don't know, something like that. But yeah, we've got a bear day on the street. This isn't a horrible bear day, but it's enough to get your attention. Now, I want to show you just as a stupid thing. You can buy individual stocks, but, I mean, that's really speculative. In my world, we buy indexes, and we buy bets. They're called options. But what we're doing is we're looking for an overall bull or bear day. And I bet yesterday that it was going to be a bear day today. So what I did was I took one that is on the Dow. I said, I'll bet the bears are going to smack the Dow. Well, why didn't you do these? Well, because I'm not that stupid. I wasn't really interested in taking a big chance, but I wanted to bet that the Dow was going to go down. And this is one of those that does that. S Dow. And sure enough, it's up for the day. Why? Because it's a bear index. It's an ultra short. In other words, this one is one that bets against the Dow. And there are all kinds of these. There's one XPXU, I think it is, if you want to bet against the Standard Poor's 500. There are a bunch of these. If you want to bet against sectors of stocks, there are some of those too. But in this way, I can take advantage of an overall sentiment instead of just hoping that one stock goes up or down because the whole market's gone up or down. So in this case, and there are others that are like this too, as a matter of fact, well, yeah, UDAO is another one. Ultra and the SPXU, yeah, that one bets against the S&P 500. These are bear. SQQQ, it is actually a bet on downside volatility as much as anything else. I strongly recommend that you don't take these on unless you really want to take a bet on a whole market. And that's what we do in this with these kinds of index things. They are actually quite risky. I mean, in one case, and it was with some of these, that in one case I was from $25, I actually ratcheted it to almost 1,000. And then I waited, I thought it was going to keep going, and within a day I had lost all the way back down to about 100. Or actually less than that when all the blood stopped flowing from me. But yeah, these things move, they snap on you. So don't get greedy. Don't say, well, I'm going to hold on one more day and I'll make some more money. No, if you start getting edgy and scared, get out. You're probably having some sanity talking to your brain. But anyway, I'll talk about those more as time goes on, just to give you some more ideas about how the markets work. Now, let me get down to some problems for the day and just pull out your computers or your calculators and have them ready. We're just going to do some problems. And these will be the kinds of problems that I will give you on a test. And these, I've done most of these before, but I'm going to do them again for you. And I'm also going to do one from the quiz, just to make sure you know how to do it, because I am going to ask one of these on the test as well. So go ahead and pull those out. Let me start with I want you to write down the steps on this. As this was one that was on the quiz. Let me change my font here a little bit, make it nice and big for you. And this is the one that was on the quiz. I'm going to show you how to do this on the calculator. Now, the one thing that you have to remember is that the formula for this is annualized yield The formula says you take the ending value over the beginning value, and you raise that to 1 over the number of years, minus 1.
Then you times it by 100. Don't forget to times it by 100, for heaven's sakes, which I sometimes forget to do.
Okay, the number of years there is going to be 1 over the number of days divided by 365.
Now, that's the part where you get burned on this, finding the number of days. Now, you can do it a couple of ways. In the case of this one, you could run to several sites on the web. Matter of fact, I think even in the Google search engine itself, you can type days between dates, and it'll put up a little calculator right there for you. So you could do it that way real quick here. Days between dates, days of our lives, days between dates, yes. Dates duration calculator, and you can put it in that way if you want to. And in this case, if you wanted to do it that way, it was May 12, 2017. May 12, 2017. And the ending date was November 4, 2021. 11/04/2021. Whoops. 11/04/2021. And then you say, calculate the duration. 1637 days. You could do it that way, and then take 1317 divided by 365. Yeah. You could. There's a quicker way to do it, though. There's a dirty quick way to do it on your calculator if you want. But yes, if you want to do it by the days between dates. As a matter of fact, I think Windows, I don't know about Macs, but their native calculator has a date calculator in it, I think. Give me a second here. Let me check something. The Windows calculator. You can ask, oh, yes, it does. Date calculation, it does have it. I forgot that they do still. I mean, this is Windows 10. I don't know about Windows 11. I'm still trying to figure out who did Windows 11. But yeah, it's in there too. So yeah, you can do it a couple of different ways. But of course, you can also, so you could do it that way, and then all we do here is say, okay, pull up your calculator. And this is good for the other problems I'm going to do today. Anyway, apps, finance, TVM solver. Now, the N is going to be those number of days divided by 365. Oh, what was that? 1,300. Sorry about that. 1,300. Alpha. No, I want to quit. Okay, let's try that again. Apps, finance, TVM solver. 1,317 divided by 365. Now, we're going to get the yield. Leave that I percent alone. Now, what we put in was $14.36. There are no pay... Oh, you know what? I'm still... something about this class is... it makes me forget things. Okay, second insert. Don't forget a negative sign. Okay, no payments because you're just putting money in. It's a lump sum. And then at the end, you're going to pull out, and you've got $18.91. $18.91. Now you go back up here and just say, what's my annualized yield? Now, you know it's an annualized because you put in the N as years. It's 3.608 years. So what comes out is going to be a year number. Alpha, solve, and there it is. If I did that right. Now, there's another way you can do this up here, a little more sophisticated. You can just say apps up here in the end, apps, finance, and then there is a DBD, days between dates, down here. I think it's like D or something. Yeah, there it is. Now, the one thing you have to remember with this is that this is in the more standard notation of the world. Most of the world says the day, then the month, then the year. We are unusual that way, and you saw me. I think I actually screwed it up in here. So what I would want to put in here is 1205.17. No. I want to put in, yes, 1205.17, comma, and then I would want to put in 0411.21. I think I can just put in the 21, I think. Close the parenthesis, divided by 365. Let's try that again. Days between dates. Maybe I'm going to have to do it the other way. What happened? Oh, 12.05.17, comma, okay, 0411.21, close the parenthesis. Oh, that's what's happening. It's not doing the parenthesis right. How do I get a parenthesis? Oh, let's try it this way. Did I do the one? Yeah. I see. Yeah. Huh, that's interesting. The number is different here. Okay, there's no way I can trust that DBD. There's no way something I'm keying in. Use your calculator or something like that. Yeah.
Well, the first number you typed in for the date was like 1300.
Really?
Yeah.
I really suck at this, you know that? I mean, I do it with the, I don't even do it with the DBD. I just go over to Google and grab the date myself. Okay, let's try this. Apps, finance, DBD, enter. Okay, so it is 1205.17, 1205.17. comma, 411.21. I really don't trust this, though. I would recommend that you just do it with the, find the days between dates with Google or something like that. Yeah, just on a test, it's fine to do that. I mean, you have your computers out. Huh. That's interesting. It's giving a different number of days. Like I said, I would not trust this. Just go to Google and use what they said. It was 1,317 days divided by 365. Yeah. Was it? What was it? 1637. That's what it is. 16. Yeah, I guess it is right. I was keying, I don't know where I was getting that. Look at it, I'm still totally it wrong. Wow. Yeah, okay, there we go. And it is, there we go. Why was I writing that wrong? Huh. Anyway, yeah, so that's how you get that one. And then you'll get it alpha solve, and it should be about 6.329%. Maybe I shouldn't ask that on the exam. As a matter of fact, I don't think I will. If I'm going to screw it up that bad. Yeah.
I think I'm going to just drop that one from the exam. Doing something a little less taxing on my brain here. Let's try this. Okay. You. Oh, wait. Let's start. Starting today. You put $100 into an account that pays 2.99% APR. And you do this every month for 4 years. How much will you have in the account a month after your last deposit? Now, as soon as you see, and this is just pretty much how it will look on the exam, as soon as you see starting today, that should tell you that it is an annuity due. A classic annuity due, you start the payments, and then you find out how much the whole thing is worth 1 month after your last, or 1 period after your last payment. So you're going to say apps, finance, TVM solver. And then we're going to say 4 years times 12 months per year. The APR is 2.99 divided by 12. Now remember, the compoundings will follow the payments. Compounding, unless I say differently, which I will not do on this exam. But if I said, well, it actually compounds every week, then you'd need to change that. You'd need to do something with that C over Y. But in a classic problem like this, the compoundings follow the payments. Now, your payments are going to be, well, we're going to have no kicker. With this kind of a problem, PV is going to be a zero. Or if you want, you could just say it's a negative zero. And then the payment is going to be the $100 that you put in. Whoops. And now the only thing you need to remember is you're going to get the future value, the FV. How much is it worth at the end? But don't forget that this is an annuity due, so it's a begin. So this problem is compact. If you see this wording, just follow this pattern that I'm doing here, and you shouldn't have any problem with it. Now go up here to the FV. Alpha solve. You'll have about $5,100 in the account. Now, like I said, on an exam, I give a little window in there so that it would be like I'd tell Reginette, give anyone credit who gets between $5,100 and $5,108. That's how it would, there would be a range, so if you miswrote a number. Yeah. Oh, please do. Please. Yeah. 2.99, did I put it in there right? Divided by 12. Alpha solve. I'm glad you brought that up, though, that point about, yeah, don't give me negatives. That's something that kills on an exam. Because VeggieNet, I want to say,
If it's a negative, just find the take the answer as the absolute value. Whatever they say, negative or positive, just grade it on the absolute value. I can't do that. It doesn't let me do that. So for God's sake, I'll try to go back through, and I always go back through the exams and look for any silly errors. So, but then if you see an error, you'll have to just yell at me, look, I put in a negative. Can I get the points back? And I'll obviously go back in and fix it. But just don't try not to put in negatives. And as a matter of fact, if I remember right, usually I put in wording, give the absolute value of the correct answer, something like that, just to remind people about that. But I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, that is an odd glitch. If you see, I didn't put in the PV as a negative, so it said, fine, fat boy, here's the answer as a negative. So it's going to give me a negative answer one way or another, come hell or high water. It's going to figure out some way to irritate me about that. Okay, now, here's the other classic kind of problem. I'm going to do a couple of twists on this one here. Your dream home is waiting for you. It's a double-wide trailer on the south side of Decatur. Fence, you know, with the beer cans lined up on it so that you're good with the neighbors. And you've got three dogs with nine legs among them. Living the dream. You get a 30-year mortgage. For $150,000 at an APR of 4.50%. What are your monthly payments? Now, I'm going to show you how this will be like a series of questions, a part of the exam, part mortgage mortgage calculations. Monthly payments. This will be the first one of the questions. The second one would be, what is your effective interest rate? And how much will you owe after 20 years? Get them all down. Now, the N, 30 years times 12 payments per year. For God's sake, don't forget to do that. It's 360 total payments. Now, your interest rate is going to be just 4.50% divided by 12 payments per year. So the interest is recalculating every time you make a payment. Now, your price value. That's how much you're borrowing. Leave the payments alone. Now, there's no FV. Put that in big bold. We're going to do problems next week where there is an FV in this whole thing. That has to do with bonds. Bonds pay $1,000 at the end of the bond's life. That means you have to put in that in the FV. But normally, with these, don't. And don't, for heaven's sake, forget to put it back on end. Now, go back up here and get your payments. Alpha, solve. $760.02. Now, on these kind of problems, I ask for you to give it to me to the nearest dollar. So your answer that you would key into VeggieNet is 760.
Actually, you know, that's not bad for a payment on a house trailer that is my dream house trailer. Gee, I'll live well after this. Okay. Now, let's take this out here. Second, now, the calculator is going to remember, even if it's a BA2 or an HP10C, it's going to remember the numbers that you put in here. So when I quit this, it's going to have some things in its mind. So the first thing that we'll want to do here, the effective interest rate, that doesn't have anything to do with this problem in particular, just apps, finance. Go down here to EFF, effective. Really? There it is. And you tell it the APR, comma, the number of compoundings per year, close it, and say enter. So the APR is 4.93. So it's 4.59 is what you would put in. Rounded to two decimal places is what you will answer. And it will give you the answer. Now, the other way you can do that is if you want to do the formula, you would just say 1 plus 0.0450. This is arithmetic, so you have to give it as the right number. Divided by number of compoundings, close the parenthesis, to the number of compoundings as an exponent, minus 1. And there's your Uncle Bob. Same answer, except as a decimal. If you want to do it that way. I don't know. Some people are more comfortable with doing formulas. Some are more comfortable doing the app. In this one, it's about as fast either way, I guess. Now, let me show you the stupid pet trick, the balance on a loan. Now, remember, the calculator has that loan in there, so you wouldn't want to do anything else in there because it already has calculated that loan. So you're going to say apps, finance, and you're going to go down here to BAL. Now, remember that you told it everything in months. The N was, the I was. So when you say 20 years, you have to say that's actually 20 times 12 periods. You still owe $73,334.35 on the loan. Notice that after 2/3 of the time of the mortgage, you still owe about half of what you borrowed. That's a nasty thing about amortization. It is slow for years. That's why in recessions, people who have bought their homes very recently, they get creamed because they go upside down, because the house value goes down and they owe more than the house is worth because the equity is building so slowly in the early years. That's what kills you with loans. Now, it'll get real fast towards the end, but right now, so I would ask you for a balance. Now, there in the book, there's a formula to calculate the balance. And let me tell you, that formula is a lot like work. This is a lot faster to get it done this way. It's your call how you want to do it, but I think this is a pretty darn fast way to get your balance. There's even one I'll show you after the exam where you can calculate the interest that you've paid. Matter of fact, let me show you real quick. This will really make you sad. Apps, finance, and go down here, there's one, the sum of interest payments. Now, in this one, you have to say from the first month to the, let's say, the 240th month, 20 years. Ouch! You've paid $105,741 in interest in the first 20 years. That's a lot of money, just in interest. Now, there is a nice thing, though, because the interest is deductible. Mortgage interest is deductible. But still, you know, that's still something that'll knock you dead. As a matter of fact, you could even say, let me show you one here real quick. Apps, finance. Some of interest. Suppose you were calculating your taxes and you want to know how much interest you would pay. Let's say you were in the fifth year. How much you paid in the fifth year. Okay, that would be from 5 times 12 plus 1. I think you would want to do plus 1. Yeah. Over 2, 6 times 12. And this will tell you how much interest you paid in year 5. You can put that right into your taxes. In that one year, you paid $6,091. And you probably paid hardly anything in principal in that period of time. So there's that. Those are the questions that I will do on the exam. You know how to do what I've just shown you here, and you've got some of the hardest questions on the exam licked. And then you can move on. Now, just as a caution, it's 40 questions. You'll have 50 minutes. The faster you clean up these kinds of questions and the easies, the more time you'll have for breathing room to clean up the ones that you are more challenged by. And then you'll also have time to go back through and check your work, too. Now, as far as what I've got today, that's all I have for you.